Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The vote today, I think, is an indication that a majority of senators believe, as I believe, that enough is enough. The American people's business is far too important to keep falling prey day after day to Washington politics.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate. It was well known in colonial legislatures before we became a country, and it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
In the history of our country, some 230-plus years, there have been 168 filibusters of executive and judicial nominations. Half of them have occurred during the Obama administration. The American people believe Congress is broken. The American people believe the Senate is broken. And I believe the American people are right.
The people have made clear they believe the filibuster is an important check and balance to be preserved, not vaporized.
But the filibuster has been overused. It's not just used on major issues like very significant judges, Supreme Court, leaders of the courts of appeals, health care.
This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power. It is a fundamental power grab by the majority party.
I served in the Senate for 36 years, and you got 13 senators, including the minority leader, saying, I will filibuster proceeding on dealing with this national tragedy. What an embarrassing thing to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Knockout on the Savage Nation. The gangster regime has knocked out democracy. Mark down this day, which is a day that shall live in infamy. The gangster regime under Obama has knocked out democracy. Now, as you know, I go light on politics later at night on most occasions, but tonight is not a night to go light on politics. I have to go heavy on politics, because what this ex-pugilist, Harry Reid, did at the behest of the gangster regime is astonishing. Not in several hundred years has this been seen. And what I just played for you on the show is worth its entry into the Radio Hall of Fame. We played Obama then and Obama now. We played Reid then, Reid now. Schumer then, Schumer now. Biden then, Biden now. So as you can see, the Democrats are a lying gangster regime with no honor whatsoever. We are now at a phase where what happened under Chavez can happen here. Let me read what a Democrat with a conscience said today. Retiring Senator Carl Levin, Democrat Michigan, who is a prominent and influential moderate liberal, was so appalled by what Obama and Reid did today that he put out a 2,300-word statement explaining in great detail why the gangster regime will cause lasting damage. Here is what Carl Levin himself said, quote, changing the rules in violation of the rules by a simple majority vote is not a one-time action, warned Levin. If a Senate majority demonstrates it can make such a change once, there are no rules that bind the majority, and all future majorities will feel free to exercise the same power, not just on judges and executive appointments, but on legislation. Retiring Senator Carl Levin argued that the move opened the floodgates for the majority to change important rules on a whim going forward. Senator Levin said, and remember, he's a Democrat, today we once again are moving down a destructive path. Pursuing the nuclear option in this manner removes an important check on majority overreach, which is central to our system of government. Did you hear this? One other Democrat had a conscience and said this, Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia. He opposed the rule. And he said this. He said that The Senate is one of the slowest moving legislative bodies in the world, but this prevents legislation and appointments from moving too fast. It's a defining feature of the Senate for decades. And he said that the vote on Thursday will vastly reduce the power of the minority to stall nominations and make it easier for federal judges to get lifetime appointments. But listen to what Senator Robert Byrd, the late Senator Robert Byrd, diehard liberal Democrat, when liberals still meant something before the gangsters took over America, before the gangster regime of Obama seized power, we had legitimate liberals. You may disagree with them, you may have disagreed with them, but they were legitimate. We now have a totally illegitimate government anarchy operating in this country. The late Senator Robert Byrd said this. He said, back in 2010, when he said doing so, changing the rules, he said would, quote, destroy the uniqueness of the institution. Listen to what Robert Byrd said. In the hands of a tyrannical majority and leadership, that kind of emasculation of the cloture rule would mean that minority rights would cease to exist in the U.S. Senate. Today, Harry Reid, a former pugilist, used a knockout technique to institute a gangster regime. And so I ask you this. Now that the gangster regime has seized total power, and they have, do you fear Obama will now eliminate term limits and run for the presidency? Again, many people think I'm crazy. They say it can't happen here. If I told you this couldn't happen here, you would have said I was crazy. It just happened here. I will ask you again. Do you fear Obama will now use this tactic, this gangster tactic, to eliminate term limits and run for a third term? Will Obama use this gangster tactic to seize your guns? Will Obama use this gangster tactic to grant amnesty to tens of millions of illegal aliens who should be thrown out of the country? 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. The senators voted today, and what they did was institute a gangster regime, changing the rules to solidify their power and hold the American people hostage. This type of action was exactly what they were against in past administrations when they were the minority. I played you sound clips of them protesting the exact thing that they did today. Bottom line point is the next midterm election has just now become even more important than ever. What this now means is every nomination is now important. Every election is now that much more important. And I tell you again, this is just the beginning, certainly not the end, of the gangster regime. Again, if you care to chime in on what you fear Obama will now do using this knockout tactic, you can call the American people on the Savage Nation by dialing 855-400-7282. Now I want to go back to some sound of Democrats in the past on the nuclear option that they enacted today. Here, for example, is the hypocrite Hillary Clinton then in clip two.
You've got majority rule, and then you've got the Senate over here where people can slow things down, where they can debate, where they have something called the filibuster. You know, it seems like it's a little less than efficient. Well, that's right. It is. And deliberately designed to be so. The Senate
was,
is being...
Hold on. I'm sorry. That was Hillary Clinton when she was pretending to be a moderate Democrat. Where was she today? Well, you didn't hear from her today, did you? Let's go down the list and go to the next guy, the next person. Is it Biden? Let's go down the list. Go to the next one then. Let's get the next one playing. The next one then, whoever it may be.
Deliberately designed to be so.
This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power.
Rather than utilizing and preserving the natural tension and conflict our Constitution created, some in the Republican Party want to eviscerate and destroy that foundation.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate.
The people have made clear they believe the filibuster is an important check and balance to be preserved,
lying,
not vaporized.
Don't subvert the system. Don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched over 200 years. This is a stunning moment. This is, in fact, one of those times that the founding fathers and countless other statesmen of history have warned us against.
He's got ketchup all over his collar because that's what he said then, but he certainly didn't stand up and say anything today. Oh, I know he's very busy trying to make certain Israel disappears, but he could take time out from eviscerating and atomizing the nation of Israel and say something about this because he's a hypocrite. He's an absolute hypocrite. You say, well, okay, what can I do about it? I've got to go buy a turkey. Well, if you want to continue to say that, then you'll slowly lose your nation. How much is left for you to lose? But, you know, it's even worse than you think. This past summer, the Republicans threatened, excuse me, the Democrats threatened to use the nuclear option. And the Republicans said, I'll tell you what, if you don't use the nuclear option and say you will never use it, we will let you make your appointment to the National Labor Relations Board. Many of you don't remember that. Many of you don't think I remember things. I have a memory like a savage. I forget nothing that's important. Last summer, these illegitimate gangsters in the Democrat regime agreed not to use the nuclear option if the Republicans would let them put their appointee into the National Labor Relations Board. Well, so the Republicans said, fine, we'll play gentlemen with you. And the Democrats put their appointee into the National Labor Relations Board. Well, guess what happened? They then kicked them in the you-know-what. The Democrats then said, you know what? Screw you. We got what we want. Now we'll get more. Now, what this is the equivalent of is Iran and the United States today, but it's in a reverse form. Obama is very mean and very tough, acts like a criminal gangster to the American people and to the opposition party. But when it comes to Islamic terrorists, he's very conciliatory. And what we're having here is a weird play that is not so much a kabuki play as it is a disaster for the future of America. And so I ask you again, what do you fear Obama will now do that he has used this gangster tactic with Harry Reid to knock out democracy? Remember, this has not happened in over 200 years. John Kerry himself said that when this came up when they were the minority. He said, don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched for over 200 years. You are living through history. Today is a day that will live in infamy. But this is not the beginning of the end, as Winston Churchill said. It is only the end of the beginning of what this illegitimate gangster government will be doing to you. And so what is it that you fear this illegitimate gangster government will do next? 855-400-7282. Sound off. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Don't subvert the system. Don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched over 200 years. This is a stunning moment. The problem is that words spoken in this chamber don't even fully convey the importance of this moment. This is, in fact, one of those times that the founding fathers and countless other statesmen of history have warned us against.
Thank you, John Kerry. If only you had said that today, but no, you didn't. But your words ring true. It's a shame you speak out of both sides of your ketchup bottle. Today is a day that should live in infamy. America's democracy was broken today by the gangster regime that has seized literally total power. And this is dangerous because there is a pacifist, weak opposition. If we had a vigorous opposition and if we had a legitimate press, I don't think this would have happened, number one, but at least there would be some discussion of it. Going along with this is the fact that we have no opposition to speak of, and the fact that, just as you feared, MSNBC is owned by the White House. You've often asked, why would they hire a street rat like Al Sharpton? Why would they hire such lightweights and put them on television? They work for the Obama administration, who gives his marching orders to these lowlifes, these weaklings, these nobodies. In exchange for it, he gives tax advantages to General Electric. Don't you understand how this works? It's as simple as a television drama. Why do you think GE lets these lightweights, who repeat everything that Obama says, support everything Obama says? Why? There's an exchange. It's a quid pro quo. You put these stooges up. You put these people who have no intellect, who are nothing but puppets, and let them say what I want them to say. Like tomorrow or tonight, they'll start supporting what Obama did as something good. How do I know that's true? How am I not just making this up? On the Drudge Report this afternoon was an article that said Obama holds off-record meeting with MSNBC hosts and liberal pundits. Off-the-record meeting with MSNBC hosts and liberal pundits, according to Politico. President of the meeting was MSNBC's nobody, Ed Schultz. Lawrence O'Donnell, another lightweight. Washington Post economics blogger Ezra Klein, another nobody. Mother Jones, pothead Washington bureau chief David Korn, communist through and through, in my opinion. Talking Points memo editor Josh Marshall. Think Progress editor-in-chief, supported by Soros, Judd Legum. Atlantic senior editor Garance Frank Ruta. Salon political writer Brian Buettler. But wait, this is the kicker. And Fox News Quisling Juan Williams. Here it gets worse. The Stooges agreed to an off-the-record classification for the meeting with Obama. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, he told them what to say about his power grab. And these little Quislings said it's an off-the-record meeting. Politico says the White House did not respond to a request for comment regarding the meeting. The liberal stooges are repeating what Obama, their boss, wants them to say. Do you understand? As Obama's approval ratings hit the garbage can, these stooges are being used as the official press corps. So we've lost the fourth estate because most of these people I just mentioned are not really part of the fourth estate. They have become part of the fifth column. These people represent a fifth column, not the fourth estate. So what do you fear will come next now that the gangster regime has shown its true colors? I'm asking you a simple question. It's only segment two tonight. 855-407-282. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you shouldn't have the right to vote. You should not be able to vote. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you should be stripped of the right to vote. Just go get an Obama phone and some welfare.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-407-282. Savage.
Now, at a time when millions of Americans have desperately searched for work, repeated abuse of these tactics have blocked legislation that might create jobs. They've defeated actions that would help.
You're listening to the sound of the knockout artist, Barack Obama. Now, maybe knockout works in the gutters. Maybe you can admire a knockout punk in the street, think that that's really great. But we're not supposed to have a knockout artist in the White House. No, and when we have a knockout artist in the White House working with a former pugilist named Harry Reid, who has today destroyed democracy, maybe not once and for all, but certainly has destroyed a key element of our democracy, according to Michael Savage, yes, and who else? Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Dianne Feinstein, Barack Obama himself when he was speaking out of the other side of his mouth. Even Harry Reid said the filibuster is a part of the fabric of the institution. Schumer, the double talker, said that. John Kerry said it, by the way. The question is, what will this gangster regime do next with their knockout tactic? Do you fear, as I do? I said fear. I didn't say I know. I fear that they could eliminate term limits and they could run him for the third term. Now, opposing that would be the Clinton machine, but I don't know how much power they have. Do you fear he will grant amnesty to the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens? Do you fear he will take away the Second Amendment? Why can't he? Who's going to stop him? John Boehner? Paul Ryan? Tell me, who's going to stop him? You? Today, Boehner turned around and said immigration is absolutely not dead. So tell me why he will not grant amnesty, seize your guns, eliminate term limits. Why won't he do it? What do you fear? 855-407-282. By the way, to those of you who normally listen to me on the Internet, there's been an interruption with iHeartRadio tonight, but I'm live on all the radio stations. Thank God for the radio stations. See, this is why I'm bullish on radio stations. They've all been running my show tonight, but those of you who've been listening on the Internet normally didn't hear anything of what I said. You missed one of my most important shows. So learn to tune in your local station. Let's start with some of the callers because they're important. Las Vegas Joyce on KBET. Your voice is important, Joyce. What do you think will happen next?
Well, I'm not afraid anymore. I knew he was going to stay in office more than third term 3 years ago. I could foresee it. I'm not a soothsayer or anything. I knew it by his words. My White House, my plane. He doesn't work. He doesn't want to work. That's his platform, to be the next dictator of this country. The man.
That's what I fear. I have felt he was Junior Doc Duvalier in the making.
Leaving the country in 5 months. I'm moving out of the country for good.
I felt this man was a Junior Doc Duvalier from the day he appeared on the international stage. I took a look at him. I listened to him. I looked at his background. I try to stop this with my books. People laughed at me. They called me names. I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny. It was my last attempt to stop him. Right now, he has an open field to crush every principle of freedom and democracy in this nation. Who's going to stop him? John Boehner?
Nobody will stop him because he said he can do whatever he wants to do. The 22nd Amendment is dead. Our Constitution is dead because of this dictator. I must leave the country. I love this country too much, but I probably will never come back again.
Yeah, well, the question is, where are you going to go? Tell me where you can go.
South America. I'm going to Ecuador.
Interesting. Do you know that Australia has a conservative leadership right now who basically is one of the finest leaders in the West right now? You want to call Australia part of the Western nations? Australia finally got fed up with the communism of the left? I don't think they would take Americans. I don't think they need any Americans there. I think they're doing quite well without us. Gus on WABC on the issue of will Obama now eliminate term limits? I don't mean tomorrow. He doesn't have to do that tomorrow. He's got 3 years left. Tomorrow is amnesty. The next day is whatever he wants. Second Amendment. Maybe a year from now, after the midterm elections, he eliminates term limits. Why not? Why not? Axelrod can certainly arrange that with MSNBC, NBC. He'll give them more tax credits. Right? That's how it works. Look back at the history of the Third Reich. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'll give it to you anyway, since you don't want to hear it. I'll give it to you anyway. Many of you don't understand anything about National Socialism. Many of you don't even understand what Hitler did in his first few years of power. You think it was all dictatorship and he crushed everyone and everyone was opposing him. You're mistaken. Hitler played real nice with the Krupp Steelworks. Hitler gave all of the leading industrialists in Germany everything they wanted. And they looked the other way. I don't know if you understand this. He granted them the biggest contracts you can imagine. So they were very happy. And they looked the other way as he started to bring down the curtain on freedom in Germany. So they were no longer a protector. They became, in fact, part of the problem. So you say, well, what does that have to do with Obama? He's not like Hitler. No, he isn't. He's more like Chavez, I would say. The model might be Chavez rather than Hitler, if you want to use a model. Chavez was a dictator, but he had no concentration camps. He just seized businesses. He drove the middle class out of the country. They fled to America largely. They're here now. Ask anyone from that country what was going on. It's identical to what's going on here. I don't mean to alarm you, but I'm going to alarm you because I'm alarmed. It's that simple. Say, well, he's being an alarmist. So laugh at me. I don't care. Laugh at me all you want. It doesn't matter to me. It's my podium. It's my show. It's my microphone. God gave it to me for a reason. God gave this to me for a reason. I'm now invoking God's name in what I'm telling you tonight. Some days I don't think I can go on. Some days I don't feel I want to go on. Some days I just want to basically walk away from all of this and not be part of it anymore. I can't stand what's going on in my country. I can't stand the evil slime that has now emanated across the nation. I can't stand the lack of leadership. I can't stand the gangsterism. I can't stand the sellouts like Zucker slime. Amnesty saying is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, that lying piece of garbage. Amnesty is one of the civil rights issues. It's for cheap labor, you lying slime ball. Zucker face, who do you think you're fooling? Do you have the soundbite by that undershirt-wearing slime bag? Play Zuckerface.
I think that this is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, and it makes me proud of the community that I'm a part of out here.
You lying
that
nobody.
That is so easy to rally.
You're a nobody. You're a sellout for everything. You Zuckerface, you greenmailer, you creep. What, because you made money, you think you're a politician? All you want is the cheap labor. That's all you want. It's not a civil rights issue. It's for cheap labor in your rotten, stinking company. That's all it is. You're a greedy stinker. You're ashamed to your parents. You're ashamed to your ancestors. You're ashamed to yourself. But you wouldn't know it because you're surrounded by a bunch of sycophants, Zuckerberg. Unbelievable to me. So that's why I'm on the air. I'm here. I'm fighting. I will fight to the end. As long as God gives me the microphone and the power, I will stand up for this because there's nowhere to go. Where am I going to go to and not face what these gangsters are doing to my country? It's a criminal regime. It's a criminal gangster regime out of the Sopranos. It wouldn't be bad enough. Listen to me. It wasn't bad enough that they're just stealing trillions of dollars. They could have left the freedoms alone. It could have been enough if you just said, okay, they're gangsters, but blah, blah, blah. They're just stealing trillions of dollars. Obamacare, the greatest scam in the history of the world. All set up for one reason, scamming trillions of dollars, nothing else. To skim off billions of dollars a year, that's all it was set up for. It had nothing to do with health care, nothing. It was to skim billions of dollars. All right, you'd think they'd be happy with that, but no. In addition to skimming billions of dollars a year from all of their programs and plans for the poor, he now has to steal the democracy itself because he's a power-mad individual. And this is what our Constitution was set up to stop. Checks and balances, the press, but there is no press and there's no checks and no balances. So what do you think we have now? Tell me what we have now. Tell me what's coming tomorrow. What do you think's coming tomorrow with this gangster? I mean, we know what he is. We know what he wants. We know what he is. We know what he wants. We know what he's doing. So what's tomorrow? What's coming tomorrow? You see these knockout games going on in America, if you want to call them knockouts. Black youths go around punching white people, Jews, Asians, women, for fun. Now, Obama could say that's because they're an oppressed group and they don't have an opportunity. And he could say, you know, I want to give them an opportunity. I want to give these youngsters, these teens, something productive to do. So I'm going to put them into the Obama Civilian Force Protection Society Association. And I'm not going to give them guns, no. I'm going to give them clubs. And their job is to go around the cities and make sure the cities are safe. And then we might have the civilian military that he's always wanted, his own SA. Can't happen here. It is happening here right in front of your eyes. Who will oppose that? John Boehner? He'll come out of the cloakroom and put down the scotch. Who will oppose it? Paul Ryan? He'll put down the brewski and come out of the cloakroom. Who will oppose it? Rubio, the ice cream man? Who will oppose it? It is happening here. It's not that it can't happen here. Knockout is happening right here. What the youths and teens are doing in the streets of America, Obama is doing to America itself. That's my opinion. He's playing knockout. Anything is possible. If we had a legitimate opposition, he'd be impeached for what he did today. He broke a 200 and some odd year rule. He'd be impeached for crimes and misdemeanors. So what is he up to? What is he up to now? Phoenix, Arizona. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm going to keep it real short and simple. This is the mafia back in the 30s on steroids. I mean, look at what he's done to our health care thing. I mean, he spent $640 million on the web page. There's only 330 million people in the United States. $1 million health care bank account, and you'd have been covered. But
my point is this, that let's say that it was all set up just to skim money. Let's say that's what it was for, to skim billions of dollars. But it's beyond that. It's not just skimming money now. Now it's taking away liberty itself. Now it's taking away democracy itself. Now it's taking away our freedom itself.
Yes. Yep.
So the people now are at a critical point. We are now at the turning point. Today is the day. Today is the day. Mark it down. It's a day that should live in infamy. If there was an opposition party, they would have been screaming from a rooftop instead of guzzling scotch in a cloakroom. If we had an opposition party, they would have been out there. There would have been news conferences. There would have been a news conference tonight from the opposition party if we had any opposition whatsoever. As much as I don't like Newt Gingrich because I think he's sort of a naked power grabber himself, I can guarantee you if Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich would have held a press conference and explained in a very succinct manner what this means tonight and how important it is that this be stopped and turned on its heels. Boehner is absolutely unqualified for this position. He is totally unqualified for the position. He has become the equivalent of the MSNBC talk show hosts. John Boehner belongs working for General Electric, not for the American people. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Over. Yep, it's good to live in interesting times, but sometimes the times are a little too interesting. Obamacare is like an Indian gambling casino with cookbooks and records. That's what it was set up for. It's an Indian gambling casino where there are virtually cookbooks. They can make up anything. So it's bad enough that they were going to scam billions of dollars a year. You figure, all right, that's what it was about. But now he's got to scam our liberty itself? Do you understand what happened today? This came out on The Blaze. Did you know this? Did you hear what happened today? You'll never believe this. A large portion of the error-riddled, multi-million-dollar federal health insurance exchange system has not even been built yet. What does that mean? Came out today, Tuesday, during a House Energy and Commerce Committee hearing on the possible security risks surrounding healthcare.gov. The part that calculates the dollar amounts has not been built yet. It has not been built. 70% of the Obamacare website has not even been built. And what is it about? The payment system to make payments to issuers has not been built. What does that mean? There's the scam of the billions of dollars a year that's going to go into the pockets of his cronies. Hospital services, ambulances, aspirins, surgery, gauze bandages, fake patients, you name it. That was bad enough? Well, okay, now he wants democracy itself in his hands. He wants to seize total power. It's everything the 60s communists dreamed of, talked about. They called for a benevolent dictator, but they really didn't mean the first part of it. They have stars in their eyes today. KSFO Stephanie, what do you think? Go ahead, please.
Oh, about that website, how do they fix something that's only half built? I mean, that whole Obama thing, it's a scam. It's to control the people. But
how do you fear about Obama? Do you feel he'll now eliminate term limits and run for a third term?
No, I don't think there's any need. They have somebody lined up who's going to be as bad or worse. And I think they're listening to some group of people above them that's really funding this whole thing and telling them what to do. I mean, Obama plays golf. That's what he does for a living. He's not in charge of anything. So they're just going to get another puppet in there. I mean, it just seems so obvious to me. What really scares me, I know I'm jumping from topic to topic, but I mean, he let China in to do military exercises. I mean,
yeah. Well, that went over. No one even paid any attention. First time in history, China's on American soil doing joint military exercises in Hawaii. This is after he fired all the generals who probably opposed it. Why do you think he sacked all of the top combat generals? They probably said no when he fired them.
We have enough evidence to get rid of this guy.
That's right. If we had a legitimate opposition, he'd be impeached.
We got to get somebody.
They could have impeached him for the military exercises. They could have impeached him for 10 different things already. He is not above the law. He's just another man. Thank you for the call. KSFO Wayne, San Francisco, KSFO, you're on the air. Your opinion, please.
Savage, you are the only word, Dr. Savage, in talk radio. Yes, there is going to be a term limits end coming real soon. But before he has to do that, he has to enact the civilian security force.
Well, you're one of the few people who remember what he said in 2007 or 8. He said he wanted to create a civilian national security force just as powerful, just as well-funded as the U.S. military. Do you remember that speech?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
It sent chills up my spine.
One.
Play the clip, Neil, if you have it. We have it. We have it. We're getting the clip now.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Well, perhaps those are the youths in the streets playing knockout. Maybe sent them out to exercise their muscles. Soon he will maybe give them green uniforms and batons. And he will call them his civilian national security force. Because think about it, they need to be employed. The only reason they're beating up weak people in the streets or people who are not of their race is because they're practicing. And they need a job. And what are they fit for? Why, they're fit for doing what they're doing, beating people up. So what you got to do is give a man a job that matches his talents. And perhaps their talents consist of knocking people out in the street who oppose the dictatorship. Now, a gentleman in Germany did the same thing, and his civilian national security force, which was unarmed in the beginning, was called the SA, the Brown Shirts. Here they will be called the Green Shirts.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You've got majority rule, and then you've got the Senate over here where people can slow things down, where they can debate, where they have something called the filibuster. You know, it seems like it's a little less than efficient. Well, that's right, it is, and deliberately designed to be so. The Senate is being asked to turn itself inside out.
That was Hillary then, and of course today there is no Hillary, who should have stuck to her guns and said the same thing. But unfortunately for us, there's not an honest member of the Democrat Party except Senator Carl Levin, who gave it the most stirring speech of the day, which I read to you earlier. He gave a printed thing about what this portends for the future. Obama now has absolute power. All the Democrats opposed it when they were the minority. All of them supported it now that they're the majority. They overturned a procedural vote that has been part and parcel of our form of government for well over 200 years. And if you think I'm making this up, listen to John Kerry, who eloquently stated this when he was a member of the minority. Listen to John Kerry then. It's
Don't
important.
Don't subvert the system. Don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched over 200 years. This is a stunning moment. The problem is that words spoken in this chamber don't even fully convey the importance of this moment. This is, in fact, one of those times that the founding fathers and countless other statesmen of history have warned us against.
You're right, Mr. Kerry. Where are you today now that we need you? I know you're very busy doing a deal with Iran to make sure that Israel is a divided nation and possibly unable to support itself. I realize that's important work for Obama's legacy, which is why he was granted a Nobel Peace Prize before he was literally out of diapers as a president. But that's because they already knew what he was going to do. They had precognition of what Obama would achieve as our first ex-president. They realized that he would eliminate Israel as an entity unto itself. He would eliminate guns in America. He'd eliminate those nasty term limits. He'd grant amnesty to make America into an appendage of Mexico. They knew all of this would be coming because it was all charted out, which is why they jumped the gun and gave him a Nobel Prize. Or am I just being alarmist about those things? Let's listen to President Obama himself when he was a senator as to what he thought about the filibuster, which he eliminated today. Listen carefully to the president.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
That was him then. Now let's listen to the knockout artist himself, Harry Reid, a former pugilist, who will go down in the books in the history of America, if there is still a history to be written after this gang gets through. They owned Goodwin. I can't believe this woman is still out there writing a book when she was found to be a plagiarist. I just cannot believe this, that even Fox News would have her on. They forgot who she was? Presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, who was found out to be a plagiarist, gets up there with her swarmy little face, and they interview her on Fox News like she's legitimate? If there is an America tomorrow, and there is a history to be written that is objective, did you hear me? Harry Reid will be written in as the greatest villain in the modern American history. Listen to what Harry Reid himself said when he was a member of the minority. Listen to clip 9.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate. It was well known in colonial legislatures before we became a country, and it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
So where are the First Amendment lawyers? Where are the lawyers from New York who always talk about the Constitution? Where are all of the left-wing lawyers who care so much about these things today? The answer is they never cared about any of them. It was all about seizing power and having sex and getting as many drugs as possible without getting caught. 855-400-7282. Gus on WABC, you're next up. What do you think is going to happen next? Your opinion counts.
Well, what I think is that I agree with just about everything you have said. In fact, when Obama was elected, I called his election the election of Chavez North. And I think I was very accurate in that prediction. But with respect to his being able to get a third term, that would be absolutely impossible because that would require a constitutional amendment, two-thirds majority of the Senate passing the constitutional amendment, and then it would require ratification by three-quarters of the state. So that is an absolute...
Wait. But if you... Hold on now. You're 100% correct. However, didn't they just do an end run around something that required a majority, not a mere majority, but actually a much larger number than a mere majority? Didn't they just change the rules on that?
They did, except that that is not constitutional law. That will simply have been the rules of the Senate.
I understand, but you're a rational man who is referring to a rule of law. Do you believe we have a government that follows the rule of law?
Absolutely not. In fact, he should have been impeached for many ultra-virus acts. From immigration,
Well, remember, he granted amnesty to the so-called Dreamers before the election, which is how he got elected. There were 4 million illegal alien children here who voted for him. Everyone remembers, forgets that he did it already. He did amnesty already. They're saying, like, will he do it? He did it already. That was the majority. That's how he got elected over Romney. The 3 million non-voters who voted. That was impeachable. That was impeachable unto itself. See, here's my point. Gus, what you stated is true 100%, but what you saw today was a regime, a gangster regime, that plays knockout at every turn. They're not interested in what the law is. They're not interested in Robert's Rules of Order. They're interested only in naked power grabs, Gus.
I agree, but there would be a revolution if he tried to do that.
What revolution? Who? Who's going to be the revolutionary? Who, the talk show hosts who talk about the Constitution are going to pick up a musket?
No, the Tea Party would protect this nation, I believe, if something like that happened.
Well, yeah, right. You know, push comes to shove. Let's talk about that one day, but not tonight. I've heard these stories forever. I'm sorry to tell you that standing up to a military, well, I'll tell you what, here's what you do. How'd that work out in Syria? How's that work out in Syria when you have a military under Assad opposing the equivalent of 100 different militias? Very well armed militias. I don't mean just single rifles that can fire a semi-automatic. I'm talking about fully automatic rifles. I'm talking about rocket launchers. I'm talking about every weapon imaginable except heavy weapons, meaning tanks and airplanes. They have no air force. They have no tanks, the rebels, right? But how well are they doing against the standing army? Buildings are being blown up. Families are being destroyed. Nobody wins in a civil war. Nobody. Let's not talk about civil war tonight, but my worst fears are that this gangster regime literally wants to provoke an insurrection in this country. Don't fall for it. They want an insurrection that would give them the pretext that they need to suspend habeas corpus as Lincoln did and to institute martial law. I'm warning you, listen to me. I'm as excited and as angry as you are. I'm telling everyone listening to me, don't fall for this stunt. They want you to do something crazy. And if you do, you'll be playing right into the hands of Saul Alinsky Obama. Or shall I say Saul Alinsky Axelrod. Be careful. Be very careful here. Be very careful here. Just don't go for it. In fact, I have a book right now that I'm writing on this exact subject. I can't talk more about it. It'll be out in October. It's exactly about this topic. I'm working on it for the last 3 months. I'm keeping it very close to myself. It'll be my last nonfiction book. I will not write another one. If I survive writing this, if I survive this year coming, and I survive writing that book, any books that may follow will be written by my dog, Teddy, who I want to run for the presidency. George on WABC, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Michael. Allow me a little 3D chess move. This is brilliant on his part because now he can stack the appellate courts across the country, which would strangle the state's moves against him. When the economy really tanks...
Well, hold on. What, you know, we haven't even touched on that yet. People don't even know what he did by doing this. He's stacking the courts that are the feeder courts into the Supreme Court. These are the courts that are second only to the Supreme Court in setting America's policies. That's what he did today.
When states oppose him, the Supreme Courts will put him down. All right? Now, the economic collapse is going to maybe go into the area of possible martial law control. That's when the term limit elimination comes in.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. I suspect, well, let us put it this way. I don't suspect, I fear that this man can run for a third term by eliminating term limits. Do you think it's an irrational fear?
No, it's not. It's very rational. As a matter of fact, George Soros is going to guarantee the midterm elections, allowing the Democrats to maintain control.
Well, that's because of what? The vote counting and the illegal aliens?
Correct.
Didn't they just do it? Didn't they just do it in Virginia?
Yeah.
Didn't they just do it in Virginia with that illegitimate McAuliffe stealing the election using illegal aliens and a fake third-party candidate? Didn't he just steal the election?
Of course they did. Michael, if it works once, why not again and again and again?
Right, and if Obama used the so-called dreamers, meaning illegal aliens from Mexico and South America or Central America, by granting with the stroke of a wand amnesty, which he did before the election, why won't he do it again? Because no one will stop him. That's why there's no opposition party and no opposition press. And, my friends, no opposition business. The big businesses, the mega businesses, the giant corporations are one and the same as Obama. They want a putative dictatorship. They want dictatorship light so they can grant amnesty to the illegal aliens who they want for their machines. Do you understand that? They don't care anything. They don't care a whit about anything else. They're looking only at the bottom line. That's all they care about. Remember this, what you don't understand, to General Electric and the other countries, companies, we are not a nation. We're a market. We're just a market and not even a big one at that. We're only one of many markets to Jeffrey Immelt, in my opinion. It doesn't matter whether they were born in Manhattan, Kansas. It doesn't matter. These are transnationalists. They don't care about your nation. They care only about the bottom line. And if that means destroying the Constitution to flood America with cheap labor, so be it. That's all that matters. If that means bringing Chinese military to the shores of Hawaii to make certain that they can get another contract in China for another, let us say, nuclear power plant that gives them $20 billion or $50 billion, and they go to Obama and they say, look, we want the Chinese to train in Hawaii. It may be a little controversial, but why don't you say it's for earthquake safety? And then what happens is the puppets on MSNBC laugh at anyone who sees it for what it is. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. Aldous Huxley wrote, life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backward. That was a very profound statement to me when I was a young man. And what it means to me today is, if you look backward on Obama's machinations against the military, purging the generals who opposed him and now putting Chinese troops on the soil in Hawaii, killing the SEALs, well, you say it was an accident, I realize that. I did a eulogy to them last night. I played Taps. I could hardly go on after playing it and reading their names. I was almost unable to continue the show. I don't know if you heard it. Why were the SEALs who had taken down Osama bin Laden put on that old helicopter and killed? You could say it was an accident. I will say it wasn't an accident. I will, for the rest of my life, believe that they were purposely put on that helicopter. And there was someone on that helicopter from the Afghan military who blew something up in the helicopter. And or the enemy was given their position and they were killed. They were executed. Why was SEAL Team 6 so heavily involved in that death squad? Why? Why were they killed? Why are the SEALs now being roundly picked on? Why are the Marines now being infiltrated with women who will weaken them in combat positions? If you look backwards, if you play it backwards, is to weaken any opposition to what is coming. That's one way to look at it, isn't it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, the illegitimate government overturns a tradition that has maintained checks and balances that's been with us for over 200 years. You go to the CNN website, there's not a single mention of the story. What you don't see when you fly, new video released in Teen Gym Death, what happened to the pink suit, Zimmerman was pacing lion. Here it is, Dems and filibusters for nominations. That's what the vermin at CNN say, without putting it in context. They don't put it in context. They did it for the sake of America, for fairness. To be fair, they eliminated the filibuster. It's for fairness. Now, although they all spoke against this act, when they were in the minority. So what's coming next? Will he seize your guns through some executive order or through some procedural vote? Will he take his action independently of the Supreme Court, or does he need a Supreme Court? Frank on WABC, what do you think is coming next from this regime?
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. As a former law enforcement officer, you will see nationwide officers stand up. They will not come after our guns. They know better. And America will not let that happen. I can tell you.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, Frank, but I had studied the progress of Nazi Germany. Do you know what happened in Germany with the police who opposed Hitler and opposed Nazism? They also said they would never let it happen there. Do you know what happened to them?
They were killed and threatened. The families were killed.
Well, just study the history of what happened to the police, the local police, the state police in Nazi Germany when Hitler seized power. What did the SA and the SS do to them? Don't think that because you have a gun that you have power. My friends, we are living in a total breakdown of civil order in the United States of America under this regime. It is not only the greediest regime in history, but the most dangerous in many other ways. One man's opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The vote today, I think, is an indication that a majority of senators believe, as I believe, that enough is enough. The American people's business is far too important to keep falling prey day after day.
Phony, fraud.
Washington politics.
Liar, two-faced, phony, fraud.
Is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this
pugilistic double-talker.
It was well-known in colonial legislatures before we became a country, and it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
In the history of our country, some 230-plus years, there have been 168 filibusters of executive and judicial nominations.
Two-faced.
Half of them have occurred during the Obama administration.
Two-faced.
The American people believe Congress is broken. The American people believe the Senate is broken. And I believe the American people are right.
The people have made clear they believe the filibuster is an important check.
Brooklyn liar.
Fat mouth.
Fat mouth Brooklyn liar with a law degree.
Has been overused. It's not just used on major
double
issues
talking,
like
fat Brooklyn liar.
Judges, Supreme Court, leaders of the courts of appeals, health care.
This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power. It
fraud.
Is a fundamental power grab.
Double talking fraudster.
By the majority party.
I served in the Senate for 36 years. And you got 13 senators, including the minority leader, saying, I will filibuster proceeding on dealing with this national tragedy. What an embarrassing thing to say.
Well, let's turn off the water gun. It's enough already. Here's a breaking news story. Do you remember the killing of the World War II vet who was beaten to death by two black youths not too long ago in Spokane, Washington? The poor little old man, Delbert Belton, a man in his late 80s who was jumped by two teens in a parking lot and beaten to death outside a city ice rink in August. Remember that little story, the World War II vet, the little man who bothered nobody? He swept up outside a veterans hall. He was a World War II veteran. He was beaten to death by two teens. The teens, Keenan Adams Kinnard, was arrested for killing Delbert Belton. The other teen, 16, also beat him to death just for fun because he was a little innocent, poor white man. Well, there's a new twist to the story that's hard to relate to. Came out minutes ago. Aryan Brotherhood targeting black teens who beat World War II vet to death, cops. Keenan Adams Kindard and Demetrius Glenn, both 16, are accused of murdering Delbert Belton in Spokane, Washington. But the boys are in protective custody after cops got word that the Aryan Brotherhood is offering a $10,000 bounty on the teens. I guess they played knockout on a little 88-year-old man. And now they don't like what's, as they used to say, what goes around comes around. Cash for kill, Aryan Brotherhood offers $10,000 bounty on the heads of black teens who beat World War II veteran to death. They're in the crosshairs of the Aryan Brotherhood. Who would have thunk? Then there's the story of the teen who raped and killed a math teacher in a vicious attack before he was found with her wallet and the iPhone and underwear. The teen, Philip Kism, 14, the poor, misunderstood teen, is being charged as an adult in the killing of this pure and beautiful math teacher, Colleen Ritzer. He raped her and killed her in a school bathroom before dumping her body in the woods. It's because he didn't have any opportunities, because he was a downtrodden teen who didn't have society behind him. Shall I go down the list of what's going on in this country and why? Why is all of this happening now? Why is this knockout game happening? Why are so many teens doing these things? Anyone have an idea? Don't call me. We all know why. We don't want to talk about it, though. Karen on KKOH, you're up on the Savage Nation.
I know the answer to two important things. First, Hillary Clinton wants to win for president. And if Obama eliminates eliminates term limits, that will completely and obliterates Bill Clinton's legacy. He doesn't want that. His ego is so big.
So what you're getting at is you think the Clinton machine would stand up against a power grab by Obama to eliminate term limits?
They've already demonstrated, the Clintons, that everyone will side with the Clintons over Obama. But there's even...
What you're missing, that may be true, but who has more power right now? The Axelrod Obama machine or the Clinton machine? Who has more power?
Clinton. They won't allow their legs...
Why do you think the Clintons have more power? They're not in power. They don't have the wheels of government behind them.
Well, Soros, as you say, he's great friends with them. But
Soros is also great friends with Obama. He put him in office. Who do you think put him in office?
I have something more important than any of that. So, the Chinese have a culture for 5,000 years. They now love capitalism. They outnumber everybody 100-1. So Obama putting the illegals and trying to wipe out the middle class and all the decadent anti-American behavior, the Chinese are adopting that with open arms, welcoming it, buying everything up. He can't do anything to get rid of them. And the more they have gold, when he devalues the dollar, there's nothing he can do. And they're going to come in, and they're going to obliterate this whole thing and free up the oil, which will create a capitalistic society again. And there's nothing Obama,
that's a long thread that you just laid out there. You're actually saying it would be good if the Chinese took over America? Is that what I heard?
It's not only good, it's going to be fabulous, because the new emperors are not what their parents were, communists before.
Now we're hearing that the Chinese communist government is something to be welcomed in America? You mean where political dissidents are thrown into concentration camps? That's something you want?
They won't be that way. They love restaurants. They're buying New York.
Oh, come on, lady.
Troy.
Karen, you made sense up to a point, but I don't think you know the truth about what goes on in China with dissidents. What? You should research more about what's done to dissidents in China before you start to wax eloquently about how wonderful they will be here. Another thing, Karen, I don't mean to be insulting, but I think you should try switching to unleaded paint chips. Thank you for the call. 855-400-7282. WABC, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Happen to help us, help the American people. I feel that we are just getting all this information, and it's kind of making me, like, nervous when I listen to it.
We have a communist revolution occurring along with a criminal revolution. The communists and the criminals have unified in America to knock out the Constitution and to take over the government, which they have done. Let's say it's going on from the White House to the mayorship in New York. Do you know what just came out minutes ago? The new mayor, who's an overt socialist leftist from hell, de Blasio, has invited people into the new mayor's headquarters to talk about what should be done with regard to policing the streets of New York. And do you know who this communist mayor de Blasio has invited to advise him on policing? Hardened criminals. The communist de Blasio invited a group of 50 ex-cons, junkies, and chronic vagrants at a Manhattan think tank today to describe what they thought the NYPD should be doing to make their lives easier. I didn't make this up. Mayor-elect Bill Castro de Blasio invited ex-cons, junkies, and chronic vagrants to his think tank today to describe what they thought the NYPD should be doing to make their lives easier. Did you hear what I just said?
What I want to ask you is there any...
All right, thanks. I can't... I'm trying to tell you there is a left-wing... You want to call it left-wing, socialist, communist, Leninist? There's been a revolution in this country from New York to Washington, D.C. The redistribution of wealth started a long time ago. It was called welfare. That was the beginning of the redistribution of wealth. The Great Society was a wealth redistribution scheme. What has it gotten us? More crime, less education, feral youths in the streets of America playing knockout. That's what the welfare state has yielded. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, if it can ever get better. Other ex-cons suggested that the communist mayor of New York make the city easier for illegal immigrants to find work. That's an ex-con. Convicts were invited in. This is what happens after a communist revolution. Don't you understand what Mao Zedong did? He took the criminal class and he made them the leaders in China, who then took out the middle class. Don't you know what happened in Cambodia when the communist who led Cambodia took power? He invited the criminals, the teens. He called them the Khmer Rouge. Do you have any idea about the history of Cambodia? Remember the movie about the Mountain of Skulls, which the liberals cried about, as they should have? Remember the crying about the Mountain of Skulls that the New York Times so cried about? Do you remember any of this? Do you know who did it? Well, who did it was a nice college professor who was a constitutionalist in Cambodia, who went to Paris and studied Marxism. He came back and he instituted Marxist philosophy and policy in Cambodia. They took out the middle class. And who did it? The Khmer Rouge. Who were the Khmer Rouge? They were 14 and 15-year-old feral, uneducated youth, Cambodian youth at that. They gave them red scarves. He made them their national security force. They went out and they arrested police, firemen, mayors, doctors, dentists, accountants, architects. Anyone who wore glasses was considered a counter-revolutionary in Cambodia. They were arrested, their property was seized by the 14 and 15-year-old youths, and they were put into work camps, and then they were killed. Remember the Mountain of Skulls? It can't happen here, can it? We have Madison Square Garden. We have ABC, CBS, NBC. Why, we have all of those things. It can't happen here. It would never happen here. People won't let that happen here. Why, it can't happen here. Why, it would never happen here. Don't be stupid. Don't be an alarmist. Don't stir the people up. It can't happen here. It won't happen here. It'll never happen here. Don't be stupid. We have ESPN. We have ABC, CBS, and NBC. We have a constitution. It can't happen here. It won't happen here. It will never happen here. Don't be an alarmist. Don't stir up the people. It can't happen here. Or can it happen here? It's happening here, dummy. Just watch the bouncing. Just watch the bouncing knockout game. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Immigration reform did. Absolutely not. I've made clear going back to the day after the last election in 2012 that it was time for Congress to deal with this issue. I believe the Congress needs to deal with this issue. Our committees are continuing to do their work. There are a lot of private conversations that are underway.
Are you listening
to try to
this?
Figure out how do we best move on a common sense, step-by-step basis to address this very important issue.
Do you hear what you just listened to? On the very day Obama blew up the Constitution and played knockout against our liberties, the opposition party, instead of screaming from a mountaintop and saying stop the presses and saying we're not taking this, instead the Quisling Boehner said that immigration reform is absolutely not dead. They rolled him over. They rolled him over on virtually everything. There is no opposition. It's a one-party system. And then the worst sound clip of the day is that of Zuckerface, the slimy little creature with an undershirt who thinks he's God now because he was able to scam a stock, in my opinion. Zuckerface, who wants cheap labor, in my estimation, has the nerve to call it a civil rights issue. Listen to Zuckerface in clip four.
I think that this is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time. And it makes me proud of the community that I'm a part of out here, that it was so easy to rally a lot of the leaders to come and try to support this effort.
So easy? Nothing to do with dollars, Zuckerface? You know you only want cheap labor. You know you struck a deal with Obama that if you support amnesty for 30 to 50 million illegal aliens. You'll get the H-1B visas so you can undercut all of the workers at Zuckerfaceburg. Zuckerfaceburg wants bigger profits. Don't you understand that there's a madness and a nymphomania in these people? You don't understand that there's no such thing as enough money for them, whether it be Google or Zuckerface. It doesn't matter how many airplanes they have, they want more airplanes. It doesn't matter how many billions they have, they want more billions. And that's what is supposed to be checked in a legitimate society. There's another unrelated story came out minutes ago. Why do Nevada hookers praise Obama? Why do Nevada prostitutes praise Obama? Obamacare has been touted as a boon to America's self-employed. That includes the independent contractors at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, otherwise known as hookers. Now they're thrilled. They're calling themselves hookers for Obama. They say it's a miracle because it's harder for us to get health insurance because not everyone understands our profession and agrees with what we do, said Bunny Ranch hooker Bella Dawn. And they say the working girls are, they're thrilled. It's wonderful because finally they're going to be able to get insurance as the independent contractors they are, and some with pre-existing conditions, Bunny Ranch owner Dennis Hoff said. You know you're not living in a sane society when a pimp supports Obamacare. You know you're not living in a legitimate nation anymore. Pre-existing conditions brought about by what? By their behavior. Well, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay. It's that simple. Now you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for all of the degenerate behavior that has given them their conditions. Now you understand what they meant by pre-existing conditions, don't you? But this is only a tip of the iceberg of who's going to get coverage, who have engaged in risky behavior. You have no idea who's really behind it. I do. But I'd rather not go there right now. I've made enough enemies for one night. Yeah, well, quite a day it's been. And on the day that Obama steals the Constitution, Boehner comes out and says immigration reform is absolutely not dead. If you just tuned in the show, it's a day that shall live in infamy. Obama then said ending the filibuster will only make things worse. Obama now says ending the filibuster is wonderful. We played a montage of all of the lying, deceitful, two-faced Democrats then and now. All of them, then and now. No one's done what I did today because I have the greatest sound crew in the whole world. Neil, congratulations. Doug, congratulations. Two men did more work than any three networks did today. The two guys who worked for me, Doug Lynn and Neil West, did more work for the betterment and the education of the American people than all three networks combined. And there's no better homage I can pay to these two wonderful workers than play clip number one again. Obama, Reid, Schumer, Biden, then, and all of them now. Why don't you play it right now?
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to Democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The vote today, I think, is an indication that a majority of senators believe, as I believe, that enough is enough. The American people's business is far too important to keep falling prey day after day to Washington politics.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate. It was well known in colonial legislatures before we became a country, and it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
In the history of our country, some 230-plus years, there have been 168 filibusters of executive and judiciary.
Mark it down. Mark it down. They're reshaping the courts. And this is all about planting fanatical left-wing criminals into the courts that are the feeder court for the U.S. Supreme Court. It's all about seizing absolute power. Is it a time for war? My last two books were called, well, what were they called? Gee, what were they called? Let's see, A Time for War before it was what? Something about power, wasn't it?
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, you're in hour number three of The Savage Nation for Thursday, November 21st. It is a day that will live in infamy. A day that will live in infamy. Your corrupt gangster regime president, your corrupt gangster regime Democrats broke the rules. They did something that has not been seen for several hundred years. You know, there's a game out there called Knockout, where black youths are going around punching people and knocking them out in the streets. And the media is covering up the knockout. Well, the media is covering up the fact that Harry Reid, a former pugilist, is knocking out America with his illegal activities. Oh, it may be legal. Then why hasn't it been done for over 200 years? Huh? The Reid and Democrat gangster regime triggered a nuclear option, eliminating filibusters on nominees. Now, what does that mean to the average person? I don't think it means anything to the average person. It's jingle bells to the average person. What you should know is that whether or not this comes back to haunt them, there were some dignified Democrats, and they shocked me, by the way, who opposed what was done today. And one of them, strangely enough, was Carl Levin, who gave one of the most sensitive and intelligent speeches opposing this crazy act on the part of the knockout artists, Obama and Reid. And I want to read to you, retiring Senator Carl Levin, Democrat, Michigan, a prominent and influential liberal moderate, put out a 2,300-word statement explaining in great detail why Obama and Reid's knockout action today could cause lasting damage. And remember, Levin is a Democrat. Listen what he said. Changing the rules in violation of the rules by a simple majority vote is not a one-time action, he warned. If a Senate majority demonstrates it can make such a change once, there are no rules that bind the majority, and all future majorities will feel free to exercise the same power, not just on judges and executive appointments, but on legislation. Levin, Democrat, argued that the move opened the floodgates for the majority to change important rules on a whim going forward. Today we once again are moving down a destructive path, he said. Pursuing the nuclear option in this manner removes an important check on majority overreach, which is central to our system of government. That's amazing to me. There was another Democrat who had something to say, and that was Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia, who opposed the rule change. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, the vote today creates a dictatorship. The late Senator Robert Byrd, Democrat, West Virginia, presented a powerful case against changing the rules as they were changed today by the tyrants. He said doing so would destroy the uniqueness of this institution. Robert Byrd said, quote, in the hands of a tyrannical majority in leadership, that kind of emasculation of the cloture rule would mean that minority rights would cease to exist in the U.S. Senate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what your knockout game has come down to. The knockout of Obama and Harry Reid. They've knocked out democracy. Mark my words, liberals, you will come to regret this. And so I ask you this. Now that the gangster regime has seized total power, and they have, do you fear Obama will now eliminate term limits and run for the presidency? Again, many people think I'm crazy. They say it can't happen here. If I told you this couldn't happen here, you would have said I was crazy. It just happened here. I will ask you again. Do you fear Obama will now use this tactic, this gangster tactic, to eliminate term limits and run for a third term? Will Obama use this gangster tactic to seize your guns? Will Obama use this gangster tactic to grant amnesty to tens of millions of illegal aliens who should be thrown out of the country? 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. The senators voted today, and what they did was institute a gangster regime, changing the rules to solidify their power and hold the American people hostage. This type of action was exactly what they were against in past administrations when they were the minority. I played you sound clips of them protesting the exact thing that they did today. Bottom line point is the next midterm election has just now become even more important than ever. What this now means is every nomination is now important. Every election is now that much more important. And I tell you again, this is just the beginning, certainly not the end, of the gangster regime. Again, if you care to chime in on what you fear Obama will now do using this knockout tactic, you can call the American people on the Savage Nation by dialing 855-400-7282. Now I want to go back to some sound of Democrats in the past on the nuclear option that they enacted today. Here, for example, is the hypocrite Hillary Clinton then in clip two.
You've got majority rule, and then you've got the Senate over here where people can slow things down, where they can debate, where they have something called filibuster. You know, it seems like it's a little less than efficient. Well, that's right, it is, and deliberately designed to be so.
That was Hillary Clinton when she was pretending to be a moderate Democrat. Where was she today? Well, you didn't hear from her today, did you? Let's go down the list. Go to the next one, then, whoever it may be.
Deliberately designed to be so.
This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power.
Rather than utilizing and preserving the natural tension and conflict our Constitution created, some in the Republican Party want to eviscerate and destroy that foundation.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate.
The people have made clear they believe the filibuster is an important check and balance to be preserved,
lying,
not vaporized.
Don't subvert the system. Don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched over 200 years. This is a stunning moment. This is, in fact, one of those times that the Founding Fathers and countless other statesmen of history have warned us against.
He's got ketchup all over his collar because that's what he said then, but he certainly didn't stand up and say anything today. Oh, I know he's very busy trying to make certain Israel disappears, but he could take time out from eviscerating and atomizing the nation of Israel and say something about this because he's a hypocrite. He's an absolute hypocrite. I don't hate progressives because they're progressives per se. I hate them because they're hypocrites, almost every one of them. I'm going to give an example. San Francisco is filled with the most fraudulent politicians in the United States of America, maybe the world. They all talk the talk, but behind the scenes, you know what they must be like the crack mayor from Toronto. Here's an article that's going to prove my point. Headline, Janery MacYoung, former SF Politico, ordered to stay away from her kids. Sounds innocent enough, right? That's because they're covering for her. Listen to what she did to her children, according to her husband. And listen to that she's the chairwoman for the San Francisco Community Youth Center. A San Mateo County court has granted a restraining order against January MacYoung, the chairwoman for the San Francisco Community Youth Center. Following her husband's accusation, she abused him and their two young children. She said, all right, that goes on all the time, but wait, you're not going to believe what you hear. According to court documents, on April 19, 2013, Clifford Young filed a petition for restraining order in sole custody of two children, Tanner, 7, and L, 19 months, alleging dozens of scenarios in which his wife physically and verbally abused the three of them. Okay, you heard that before. Wait a minute. You never heard this, though. This takes child abuse to a new level. Specifically, on March 13, 2012, Mr. Young claims his wife, Janery, quote, threatened to cut off Tanner's hand if he did not complete his Kumon math packet, close quote, according to court documents. Per the documents on March 26, 2012, Tanner again refused to do his Kumon assignment. Mother Janery threatened to pinch Tanner if he did not finish his work. Tanner threw his pencil on the ground and Janery dragged him into the kitchen. Quote, I came into the kitchen and saw Janery holding one of Tanner's wrists in one hand and a butcher knife in the other. Close quote, husband Clifford stated in court records. Did you hear that? The mother was holding one of the child's wrists in one hand and a butcher knife in the other. She's on a human rights commission and a child commission. After seeing her husband, the document continues, Janery put the knife down, then slapped Tanner across the face. A month later, she hurled a diaper bag with jars of baby food in it at her husband. He claims it caused swelling and bruising to his head. I think she should be considered as a, let's say, perhaps not the Booker Prize, but perhaps the Presidential Medal of Freedom for next year. Because this would meet the woman who's had enough of the husband and children. I mean, she goes along with the, what's her name? What's her name? That woman who got one today, that vile creature from the black. The children and I can no longer bear the trauma and anxiety we endure living with Janery. I fear for our safety if Janery is not excluded from the family, Clifford stated. Messages sent to Janery Mack Young have not yet been returned. On November 8th, the court made a finding of domestic violence, granted the following. Janery must stay 100 yards away from her children and her husband's job, home, and car. She will not be allowed to disturb a family that includes calling, threatening, attacking, and striking. An exception to the restraining order includes doctor's appointments for the kids, school plays, and games. She will also be allowed to attend. Wait. She will also be allowed to attend PTA events as the PTA vice president. Vice president. This is the San Francisco Bay Area. Everything's not what it appears to be. Well, to me, everything is what it appears to be. When they appear and give a speech, the politicians here, I get out my gas mask. She must move out of the family home. Husband Clifford Young will have temporary legal and physical custody of the children, provided he keep his wife informed of the kids' medical school in Chung. Let's see. Janery Mack Young, a Hillsborough resident, is currently the chairwoman. Now here comes the punchline. Community Youth Center at San Francisco and the chair of the San Francisco Women's Political Committee Advisory Board. She formerly worked as a legislative aide for former San Francisco supervisor Fiona Ma and was a staff member to Congressman Tom Lantos, D. San Mateo. She also ran for San Francisco County Supervisor in 06. Another hearing review is custody case scheduled for December 20th. So there, that's San Francisco's hypocrisy. And I didn't say hip-hop-cracy, but it may as well be a hip-hop-cracy. Today is a day that should live in infamy. America's democracy was broken today by the gangster regime that has seized literally total power. And this is dangerous because there is a pacifist, weak opposition. If we had a vigorous opposition and if we had a legitimate press, I don't think this would have happened, number one, but at least there would be some discussion of it. Going along with this is the fact that we have no opposition to speak of, and the fact that, just as you feared, MSNBC is owned by the White House. You've often asked, why would they hire a street rat like Al Sharpton? Why would they hire such lightweights and put them on television? They work for the Obama administration, who gives his marching orders to these low-lifes, these weaklings, these nobodies. In exchange for it, he gives tax advantages to General Electric. Don't you understand how this works? It's as simple as a television drama. Why do you think GE lets these lightweights who repeat everything that Obama says, support everything Obama says? Why? There's an exchange. It's a quid pro quo. You put these stooges up. You put these people who have no intellect, who are nothing but puppets, and let them say what I want them to say, like tomorrow or tonight, they'll start supporting what Obama did as something good. How do I know that's true? How am I not just making this up? On the Drudge Report this afternoon was an article that said Obama holds off-record meeting with MSNBC hosts and liberal pundits. Off-the-record meeting with MSNBC hosts and liberal pundits, according to Politico. Present at the meeting was MSNBC's nobody, Ed Schultz. Lawrence O'Donnell, another lightweight. Washington Post economics blogger Ezra Klein, another nobody. Mother Jones, pothead Washington bureau chief David Korn, communist through and through, in my opinion. Talking Points memo editor Josh Marshall. Think Progress editor-in-chief, supported by Soros, Judd Legum. Atlantic senior editor Garance Frank Ruta. Salon political writer Brian Buettler. But wait, this is the kicker. And Fox News quisling Juan Williams. Here it gets worse. The Stooges agreed to an off-the-record classification for the meeting with Obama. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, he told them what to say about his power grab. And these little quislings said it's an off-the-record meeting. Politico says the White House did not respond to a request for comment regarding the meeting. The liberal Stooges are repeating what Obama, their boss, wants them to say. Do you understand? As Obama's approval ratings hit the garbage can, these stooges are being used as the official press corps. So we've lost the Fourth Estate because most of these people I just mentioned are not really part of the Fourth Estate. They have become part of the Fifth Column. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Type.
It is the Savage Nation. You say, well, okay, what can I do about it? I've got to go buy a turkey. Well, if you want to continue to say that, then you'll slowly lose your nation. How much is left for you to lose? But, you know, it's even worse than you think. This past summer, the Democrats threatened to use the nuclear option. And the Republicans said, I'll tell you what, if you don't use the nuclear option and say you will never use it, we will let you make your appointment to the National Labor Relations Board. Many of you don't remember that. Many of you don't think I remember things. I have a memory like a savage. I forget nothing that's important. Last summer, these illegitimate gangsters in the Democrat regime agreed not to use the nuclear option if the Republicans would let them put their appointee into the National Labor Relations Board. Well, so the Republicans said, fine, we'll play gentlemen with you. And the Democrats put their appointee into the National Labor Relations Board. Well, guess what happened? They then kicked them in the you-know-what. The Democrats then said, you know what? Screw you. We got what we want. Now we'll get more. Now, what this is the equivalent of is Iran and the United States today, but it's in a reverse form. Obama is very mean and very tough, acts like a criminal gangster to the American people and to the opposition party. But when it comes to Islamic terrorists, he's very conciliatory. And what we're having here is a weird play that is not so much a kabuki play as it is a disaster for the future of America. And so I ask you again, what do you fear Obama will now do that he has used this gangster tactic with Harry Reid to knock out democracy? Remember, this has not happened in over 200 years. John Kerry himself said that when this came up when they were the minority. He said, don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched for over 200 years. You are living through history. Today is a day that will live in infamy. But this is not the beginning of the end, as Winston Churchill said. It is only the end of the beginning of what this illegitimate gangster government will be doing to you. And so what is it that you fear this illegitimate gangster government will do next? 855-400-7282. Can't happen here. It is happening here, right in front of your eyes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage.
One of my favorite newspapers is the Washington Times, and one of my favorite writers is Jennifer Harper, who keeps her eye out for stories that may catch her interest other than Hollywood or Obamacare. Jennifer Harper, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
It's always good to be with you, Michael.
It seems that the value of traditions is decreasing each year. What is the trend this year?
Yeah, a lot of people talk a lot about Christmas wars, about sanitizing the holidays and so forth, and I think now we're beginning to have Thanksgiving wars as well. A lot of Americans are wondering, my gosh, whatever happened to my Thanksgiving dinner, my family time, my fellowship, because all of the big box stores are open today, and gee, do I have to pick between shopping and my family and friend fellowship? And I think in many cases, people are going with a shopping already a week out. There are already people who are camped out outside the big stores, which are advertising blockbuster sales for Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday, the day afterwards. So you have to wonder what's going on in Americans' minds. And reassuredly enough, despite all of the commercialization that's gone on, Americans are still valuing the traditional things that have always given them a little thrill around Thanksgiving. And, of course, there's a poll out there, Michael. I love quoting polls because numbers are numbers. You can't argue with them. And this particular Harris poll asked people, hey, do you think your Thanksgiving table or your Hanukkah table or your Christmas table should be a technology-free zone? And anyone who's got kids or teenagers or young people or tech heads will know they like to bring their iPads and cell phones and everything else with them, no matter where they are. Well, guess what, Michael? This particular poll found out that two-thirds of Americans say they would ban the use of all cell phones, iPads, Kindles, all that kind of stuff. And when the good eats start arriving and the fellowship begins, they're calling this a tech timeout phenomenon. And the message is, Junior, turn off the cell phone. And, of course, Uncle Bubba has got to turn off his cell phone, too. This is not just a kid phenomenon. So reassuredly, despite the fact that people are lined up already a week ahead of time to get in to get their bargains on Thanksgiving Day, we are still valuing the traditional stuff that goes along with Thanksgiving. And people are still, like, talking about the simple stuff. What kind of pie are you making? You using your mother's recipe. So that part has not gone away yet.
The more the technology seems to advance, the less people seem to talk to each other. Look at the kids walking around with phones in their hands. They go nowhere without this little device. It's nice to hear some traditions are not changing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's some things that don't go away, and that's one thing that no matter how many stores and panics there are over the economy and Obamacare and everything else, there are things that are still staying with us. And Thanksgiving traditions, God, I hate to sound too corny, but, you know, they're not going anywhere, and the same for the rest of the holidays. They're not going anywhere yet, and Americans won't let them.
Well, this year we seem to be getting more and more stories about JFK from the media. I think it's a cover-up for Obama's failures. What do you think?
Well, this has almost turned into a whole cottage industry for the analysts, the experts, the broadcasters, the entrepreneurs. Just about everybody has looked at the 50th anniversary of the assassination of an American president as an opportunity to, do all sorts of things. I mean, there was a recent public auction, for example, of assassination memorabilia, and we're talking about Jack Ruby's hat, Lee Harvey Oswald's wedding ring. We're talking about picket fence pieces from the grassy knoll in Dallas. I mean, that's kind of how far this has gone. But we have seen an endless parade of special broadcasts, special sections in newspapers, all about the JFK assassination, what it means, what it doesn't mean. And I think it's indicative that the assassination, like other large-scale events, whether it's 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, these things stick in the collective American consciousness. And I think the takeaway message here is the conspiracy side is the one thing that is not changing. There are polls going back decades asking Americans, did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? Was there a conspiracy? Was there a cover-up? And still, to this day, and this is coming from major pollsters like Gallup, ABC News, The Washington Post, they all are plumbing the American consciousness what was a tragic event 50 years ago. And across the board, 6 out of 10 Americans believe that, yes, there was a conspiracy, that others besides Lee Harvey Oswald were involved in the assassination in 1963. And interestingly enough, Michael, this is one thing that all of the political parties, again, agree on right across the board, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, you ask them, and it's the same numbers over and over again, somewhere between 60% and 65% say, yep, it was a cover-up. They're not satisfied with the answers. They're not done with it yet. And they also asked people, well, if you think there was a conspiracy, who was behind the conspiracy here? And I guess people have been thinking about this for 5 days because they had a whole list of answers. This was an open-end question on a Gallup poll that was released this week. And here's what they said, Michael. In the top position, 13% believed that it was gangsters or organized crime behind it. In second place, the United States government. Again, these are answers that were all volunteer. In third place, the CIA, followed by Fidel Castro, followed by special interest groups. Entry was political groups, racial groups. Lyndon Johnson was on there, the Soviet Union, foreign governments, and at the end, big business. So again, we have a huge cultural moment, a historical moment, and it doesn't go away because I think everyone can still identify with one portion of it.
Is there any sign that their interest is going away, or is this getting stronger?
Well, every time we have a major anniversary, the 10th anniversary, the 25th, the 50th, we have a renewed interest. And again, because there are a lot of unsolved facts about this. There's something for everyone to identify. And indeed, some of the broadcasters have gotten rather alarming in their coverage. I know that PBS had almost a whole biography of Lee Harvey Oswald. And then there have been endless reviews of the famous Zapruder film. These things have been slowed down, run through computers, and that type of use of technology and other analysis and tools that were not available back 50 years ago has renewed American interest over and over again. So technology's entered in on it, along with media coverage. 24/7 media coverage has also been an influence.
Well, it does seem that the love affair between Obama the dictator and the liberal press may be waning, but is that really what's going on?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, all the polls are reflecting this, and this has been going on for a good week to 10 days now. But we're seeing a definite remorse, and certainly this is geared around Obamacare and all of the convolutions and Baroque dramatic tableaus that have come out of this entire situation as they try to work things out. But definitely journalists and lawmakers alike are kind of having buyer's remorse. They are backing away from their complete and utter lockstep support of Obamacare. And interestingly, you have to note that immediately Republicans have identified the, quote, dirty dozen. These are senators, Democratic senators, who signed on to completely support Obamacare and completely reply all of those phrases that are not coming true, such as, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. And they are at risk in 2014. They're being referred to now as a dirty dozen. And even the activist groups are taking advantage of this. There's a group called Campaign for Working Families. This is a political action committee that supports pro-life, pro-family type candidates, and they have assembled an entire video of some of the senators completely repeating over and over, if you like your health care, you can keep it. And they're publicizing that. And then, of course, the media watchers are at work, and there is a top 10 list out there of the things the media wish they had never said about Obamacare. This is coming from the Media Research Center. That is a conservative watchdog right here in the nation's capital. And if you're wondering, Michael, who was in first place about the most hair-raising thing said about Obamacare, they put MSNBC in first place. And MSNBC said, make no mistake, Obamacare saves lives and is good for America. They also referred to Obamacare as the best thing the country has done since the civil rights legislation that was passed in the 60s. So we've got Obamacare remorse working, and until this thing gets worked out, it's going to persist, I have a feeling.
Well, where can we read more of your work?
Well, you can always see me on Twitter at the Harper Bulletin. I'm at the Washington Times. I write Inside the Beltway and the Water Cooler.
Jennifer Harper, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
It's always my pleasure, Michael.
Be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, at a time when millions of Americans have desperately searched for work, repeated abuse of these tactics have blocked legislation that might create jobs. They've defeated actions that would help.
You're listening to the sound of the knockout artist, Barack Obama. Now, maybe knockout works in the gutters. Maybe you could admire a knockout punk in the street, think that that's really great. But we're not supposed to have a knockout artist in the White House. No, and when we have a knockout artist in the White House working with a former pugilist named Harry Reid, who has today destroyed democracy, maybe not once and for all, but certainly has destroyed a key element of our democracy, according to Michael Savage, yes, and who else? Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Dianne Feinstein, Barack Obama himself when he was speaking out of the other side of his mouth. Even Harry Reid said the filibuster is a part of the fabric of the institution. Schumer, the double talker, said that. John Kerry said it, by the way. The question is, what will this gangster regime do next with their knockout tactic? Do you fear, as I do, I said fear. I didn't say I know. I fear that they could eliminate term limits and they could run him for the third term. Now, opposing that would be the Clinton machine, but I don't know how much power they have. Do you fear he will grant amnesty to the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens? Do you fear he will take away the Second Amendment? Why can't he? Who's going to stop him? John Boehner? Paul Ryan? Tell me, who's going to stop him? You? Today, Boehner turned around and said immigration is absolutely not dead. So tell me why he will not grant amnesty, seize your guns, eliminate term limits. Why won't he do it? What do you fear? 855-407-282. By the way, to those of you who normally listen to me on the Internet, there's been an interruption with iHeartRadio tonight, but I'm live on all the radio stations. Thank God for the radio stations. See, this is why I'm bullish on radio stations. They've all been running my show tonight, but those of you who've been listening on the Internet normally didn't hear anything of what I said. You missed one of my most important shows. So learn to tune in your local station. Let's start with some of the callers because they're important. Las Vegas Joyce on KBET. Your voice is important, Joyce. What do you think will happen next?
Well, I'm not afraid anymore. I knew he was going to stay in office more than third term 3 years ago. I could foresee it. I'm not a soothsayer or anything. I knew it by his words. My White House, my plane. He doesn't work. He doesn't want to work. That's his platform, to be the next dictator of this country. The man.
That's what I fear. I have felt he was Junior Doc Duvalier in the making.
Leaving the country in 5 months. I'm moving out of the country for good.
I felt this man was a Junior Doc Duvalier from the day he appeared on the international stage. I took a look at him. I listened to him. I looked at his background. I try to stop this with my books. People laughed at me. They called me names. I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny. It was my last attempt to stop him. Right now, he has an open field to crush every principle of freedom and democracy in this nation. Who's going to stop him? John Boehner?
Nobody will stop him because he said he can do whatever he wants to do. The 22nd Amendment is dead. Our Constitution is dead because of this dictator. I must leave the country. I love this country too much, but I probably will never come back again.
Yeah, well, the question is, where are you going to go? Tell me where you can go.
South America. I'm going to Ecuador.
Interesting. Do you know that Australia has a conservative leadership right now who basically is one of the finest leaders in the West right now, if you want to call Australia part of the Western nations? Australia finally got fed up with the communism of the left. I don't think they would take Americans. I don't think they need any Americans there. I think they're doing quite well without us. Gus on WABC on the issue of will Obama now eliminate term limits? I don't mean tomorrow. He doesn't have to do that tomorrow. He's got 3 years left. Tomorrow is amnesty. The next day is whatever he wants. Second Amendment. Maybe a year from now, after the midterm elections, he eliminates term limits. Why not? Why not? Axelrod can certainly arrange that with MSNBC, NBC. He'll give them more tax credits. Right? That's how it works. Look back at the history of the Third Reich. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'll give it to you anyway, since you don't want to hear it. I'll give it to you anyway. Many of you don't understand anything about National Socialism. Many of you don't even understand what Hitler did in his first few years of power. You think it was all dictatorship and he crushed everyone and everyone was opposing him. You're mistaken. Hitler played real nice with the Krupp Steelworks. Hitler gave all of the leading industrialists in Germany everything they wanted, and they looked the other way. I don't know if you understand this. He granted them the biggest contracts you can imagine. So they were very happy, and they looked the other way as he started to bring down the curtain on freedom in Germany. So they were no longer a protector. They became, in fact, part of the problem. So you say, well, what does that have to do with Obama? He's not like Hitler. No, he isn't. He's more like Chavez, I would say. The model might be Chavez rather than Hitler, if you want to use a model. Chavez was a dictator, but he had no concentration camps. He just seized businesses. He drove the middle class out of the country. They fled to America largely. They're here now. Ask anyone from that country what was going on. It's identical to what's going on here. I don't mean to alarm you, but I'm going to alarm you because I'm alarmed. It's that simple. Say, well, he's being an alarmist. So laugh at me. I don't care. Laugh at me all you want. It doesn't matter to me. It's my podium. It's my show. It's my microphone. God gave it to me for a reason. God gave this to me for a reason. I'm now invoking God's name in what I'm telling you tonight. Some days I don't think I can go on. Some days I don't feel I want to go on. Some days I just want to basically walk away from all of this and not be part of it anymore. I can't stand what's going on in my country. I can't stand the evil slime that has now emanated across the nation. I can't stand the lack of leadership. I can't stand the gangsterism. I can't stand the sellouts like Zucker slime. Amnesty saying is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, that lying piece of garbage. Amnesty is one of the civil rights issues. It's for cheap labor, you lying slimeball, Zuckerface. Who do you think you're fooling? Do you have the soundbite by that undershirt-wearing slimebag? Play Zuckerface.
I think that this is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, and it makes me proud of the community that I'm a part of out here.
You lying nobody.
So easy to rally.
You're a nobody. You're a sellout for everything. You Zuckerface, you greenmailer, you creep. What, because you made money, you think you're a politician? All you want is the cheap labor. That's all you want. It's not a civil rights issue. It's for cheap labor in your rotten, stinking company. That's all it is. You're a greedy stinker. You're ashamed to your parents. You're ashamed to your ancestors. You're ashamed to yourself. But you wouldn't know it because you're surrounded by a bunch of sycophants, Zuckerberg. Unbelievable to me. So that's why I'm on the air. I'm here. I'm fighting. I will fight to the end. As long as God gives me the microphone and the power, I will stand up for this because there's nowhere to go. Where am I going to go to and not face what these gangsters are doing to my country? It's a criminal regime. It's a criminal gangster regime out of The Sopranos.